This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Having a hard time getting the microphone on here. 7:14 now. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Jeff Palermo, our friend who is a WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. Let's talk. Hey, good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I am okay, sir. I'm a little tired because the dog was, I think, being trolled by the ghost of the previous dog last night and barked every 10 minutes at something. You ever wonder what these dogs have going on in their heads?
I don't know.
Seeing, what they're thinking, what they're doing.
My dog, he loves to dream, and he's like barking in his dream, or he's woofing, and it's just, what are you dreaming about?
Exactly. What are you? Then again, probably we're doing the same thing in our sleep, and they're looking at us saying, "Will you shut the hell up, please? I'm trying to sleep here." All right, let's talk about LSU baseball last night.
Man, what a performance by Cade Anderson. I don't know, we've seen some great ones as far as great pitching performances, but you might not see a game like that in a long time. You might not see it ever again. I mean, 135 pitches when everyone starts freaking out after a pitcher gets over 100 pitches in a game. But as Coach Jay Johnson said, he was getting stronger, and he retired the last 12 hitters he faced. He struck out a career-high 14 hitters against a team that really doesn't strike out a ton, a team that likes to foul a lot of pitches off, work the counts, get on base, create havoc on the base pass. But Anderson only allowed the leadoff hitter aboard once in the game, and that was in the sixth inning. He got into a little trouble in the first inning, bases loaded with one out. Then pitching coach Nate Yeske goes out, has a conversation with him. He strikes out the next two hitters, and he's basically untouchable after that. And he went up against one of the best pitchers in college baseball, and Kyson Witherspoon for Oklahoma, and Cade Anderson absolutely outdueled him in a magnificent performance to get LSU off to a great start in this series in Norman, Oklahoma.
The average, as I understand, between 90 and 100, 135, I thought was a mistake when I first heard it. I thought somebody was making a mistake. It's like, surely it cannot be 135. And the first thing they said was, "My name's not Shirley." And then secondly, they said, so what does that mean? Does that mean extra rest for him?
Well, it's a good question, Tommy. And I think one of the reasons why, well, there are a couple of reasons why Jay continued to go with Cade Anderson. He mentioned that he was getting stronger as the game went along. And if he did allow a base runner in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning last night, I think he was going to go to the bullpen at that point. But Anderson never allowed a base runner in the seventh, eighth, or ninth. He retired the final 12 guys that he faced. And then the other thing is, you know, this is a Thursday-Friday series. Next week, LSU goes to Auburn, but the series starts on Friday. So Cade Anderson will have an extra day of rest before he pitches again. So I know that was in the back of Jay Johnson's mind last night.
Can you imagine what his arm must feel like after 100? Seriously.
Yeah, I know. I know. But again, what Jay said, hey, this kid is well conditioned. He was ready for it. It did help that you're pitching on a cooler night, right? I mean, pitchers can, especially once they get warmed up and in a good groove on a chilly night like last night in Norman, Oklahoma, where the temperature was in the mid 50s. That benefits the pitcher. In fact, in the sixth inning, it looked like Anderson had given up a two-run homer, but the wind blew it foul. And that helped preserve the shutout and allowed Anderson to continue to motor along. So just a great outing. Yeah, and I'm sure next week we'll be watching to see, you know, how he does rebound next week against Auburn. But for right now, it's just one of the best pitching performances in LSU history.
You got a great story at WWL.com. I see 91 of those pitches were strikes. Yeah. What is Kate Anderson's go-to pitch? Is he does he throw smoke? Is he does he move the ball around all over the place? What does he do?
Yeah, he's got a fastball, you know, 92, 93 miles per hour, and that's the other thing. You never saw it really dip as far as the velocity goes. But then he throws four pitches, you know, the slider, the changeup. I mean, he's a four-pitch pitcher, and he is just a crafty guy. I shouldn't say more. He's a little more than crafty. I mean, I just think he's a good pitcher. I mean, what you've seen with a lot of LSU's young pitchers this season, they're good throwers. They're not good pitchers. Kate Anderson is a good pitcher. He knows how to locate the baseball. He knows how to – and granted, Nate Yeske's calling the pitches, so that helps a little bit. It's not like he's the one that's you know, deciding when to pitch or what pitch to throw and when. But he still has a great ability to be accurate with his pitches. And last week he hung a few breaking balls up in the zone and he gave up three home runs. This week, probably knowing that the conditions were not – really great to hit home runs in last night, and he wasn't really going up against a home run hitting team. I think he was a little more aggressive, and he went right after these guys. And the key was to keep Oklahoma off the base paths. Jay Johnson had said it multiple times this week. You got to get the first guy out in the inning because once they get the leadoff man on, they like to bunt, they like to steal, they want them to move the runners along. As I mentioned, they want to create havoc on the base paths, throw the pitcher's timing off, all that kind of stuff. But he only allowed the leadoff man aboard once in the game. So it took Oklahoma completely out of its game.
Tell me about the Oklahoma team. Where are they ranked?
Well, they're ranked number 10. I mean, this is a really good baseball team. And LSU faced its best pitcher last night.
You had ace against ace last night.
Yes, it was ace. It was really, I mean, you know, we'll see how Anderson finishes up this season. He is a draft-eligible sophomore. But you might have seen – you know, two pitchers last night throwing against each other that could be drafted in the first round of the Major League Baseball draft this summer, or, you know, at least relatively high. I think Witherspoon has certainly etched himself into that first round discussion. You know, Anderson, he puts together a few more great starts, and I think a lot of teams will be looking at him as a potential first rounder as well. So, you had two great pitchers. You got an Oklahoma team, as I mentioned, that just they're pesky. Over 70 stolen bases on the season. They got a lot of good arms that come out of the bullpen. But now, because Anderson went the distance, the advantage in this series really shifts to LSU because I think they have the better starting pitchers left. Anthony Ianson throwing today. Chase Shores on Saturday, and then LSU's two best arms out of the bullpen that have been nearly untouchable this season in Cason Evans and Zach Cowan are rested and ready to go. So if you need to go to them for three or four innings, either today or tomorrow, you got them. So now you're thinking, you were hoping to win, obviously hoping to at least win one on the road when you go in SEC play. Now you're looking at you're in position to win the series victory or win the series. And then heck, if you win tonight, then you want to get greedy and win Saturday and get another sweep.
Let me take a break, Jeff. We'll pick it up here. We come back 7:22. Traffic now, WWL. Hi, 7:26. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist and Louisiana Network News Director. He's got a great article posted at WWL.com about the game last night. Jeff, you know, real quick before we get to basketball, I've spoken to you a lot. I know you, and hearing your voice, I think your true passion may lie with LSU baseball. Does it or not?
Well, I love the sport of baseball. Yeah. I think it's...
And that's not to say you don't love basketball or football,
but
hearing a little something here that...
Well, and last night, as I mentioned, and I said in my article, you might not see a pitching performance like that again.
Mm-hmm.
For a pitcher to go out there and throw 135 pitches, I mean, that is... That's unreal. It in today's day and age of baseball, where just getting to the seventh inning is a huge accomplishment. for a guy to throw 135 pitches is something else. So as a sports fan, when there's 1,000 games on, right, and you watch hundreds of games a year, when you see something that you might not ever see again, you get a little excited about.
Let's talk about Flauge Johnson and her decision and women's basketball, and then we'll talk to men about men's basketball and transfer portal.
Well, not a huge surprise that Flauge Johnson is apparently coming back. She really sounded in the locker room following the loss to UCLA on Sunday that she wanted to come back. She wants to win another championship. Of course, she was on that national championship team in her freshman season, but that was really Angel Reese, Alexis Morris's team. Flauge was a starter and obviously a huge contributor, but she can really cement her legacy as one of the greatest players in LSU athletic history if she can come back next season and win another national championship. And they certainly got to replace someone like Anissa Morrow, but you got the number one recruiting class in the country coming in, and you know Kim Mulkey's going to get some outstanding talent out of the transfer portal. So LSU will once again be in the conversation next year to win it all. And this is what we're also seeing in women's basketball. You know, we're in the in men's basketball, these guys, after the one season, boom, they're gone. They're off to the NBA. But in women's basketball, a lot of the big stars decide to come back because they are more marketable as a college basketball player than they are in the WNBA. Like Lauren Betts, who LSU faced against last week in their top player from UCLA. She's coming back next season. Taniya Latson, who LSU faced when they played Florida State. She's coming back. Olivia Miles from Notre Dame. She's coming back. So a lot of these players would rather come back and, you know, NIL, they can benefit more in college than over in WNBA.
That's interesting, huh?
That it is interesting.
The name, image, and likeness. You know what else I heard the other day, and I'm not going to name the source, but the other side of name, image, and likeness is that, in a way, as far as compensation goes, I guess, so I'm trying to say in my own clumsy way, some schools won't cut walk-ons because they want them to keep paying tuition. So they keep them on – you with me?
Well, with the and we could talk a lot more about this as it goes along, but when the new rules go into place after the House settlement, walk-ons are no longer a thing. Walk-ons are done.
Okay.
Football roster is actually going to increase to 105, so you can give scholarship. It would go from 85 to 105 as far as the number of scholarship players you can have.
We'll talk about that at another moment. I think that could be the same in high school too, where maybe they want to keep the kids on the team whether they play or not because they're paying tuition, and rather than have them go somewhere else, right?
Yeah, well, right. Yeah.
It's just interesting that when somebody told me that, I got to thinking about it. It's like, you know what, that does make sense. Hey, thank you, Jeff Palermo. Have a great weekend. Go Tigers.
All right, Tommy.
We'll take a break, come back, talk to Mark Rose to help you manage your money with Mark, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Time now, WWL First News. 7:44, 16 till 7, an exhausted Tommy Tucker because Teddy kept me up last night, and I said it earlier, he was barking at something every 10, 15 minutes, and I think it was the ghost of Betsy the Boxer that was trolling him. I'm not sure about that. I have no proof. It's just a suggestion. But I'm so tired, I had to look up the website for Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. It's jeffersonfinancial.org. You would think after all of this time I would remember it, but what are you going to do when you don't get any sleep? Mark Rosa joins us now, president of that fine institution, Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. How you doing, Mark?
Yes, sir. Good morning and happy Friday to you.
You still feeding them raccoons at your house or not?
Oh, yes. Seven bowls of food out every day, and it's clean. It's like you got the bowl out of the dishwasher every morning, whether it rains in it or whatever. Those animals eat. It's amazing how much food they could go through.
Do you have any hats?
I have no hats.
Coonskin hats. I just didn't know if you. I didn't know how, you know, what kind of relationship it was.
Well, you put a live animal on your head?
No, that's not. Well, you could, actually, I guess. That would be something if you could train them. That'd be awesome. Anyway, go to jeffersonfinancial.org. You'll find the calculators there if you can safely go to that website. If not, download the Odyssey app and rewind or list. Go to WWL.com. Listen, because Mark, you can go through the go to jeffersonfinancial.org. You find a ton of calculators there. It's like 93 of them. And Mark today is going to talk about five ways, and I think this is – man, extremely important. Five ways to break the paycheck to paycheck cycle, because people, Mark, are concerned about tariffs, and we're not going to talk about tariffs, but people that live paycheck to paycheck are very concerned about what's going on right now, and it's amazing how the freedom you feel and the relief you have when you don't live paycheck to paycheck.
Tommy, it's amazing, but when the economy is doing well. And I go back to like 2016 to 19, before COVID, nobody knew how to spell COVID back then, and people were making decent money. Economy was performing decently. And they, you know, you hear people say, well, I'll live paycheck to paycheck. Not a single thing can, it's so fragile. And if anything that happens, it's an issue. Okay, you need a car battery. We used that example a couple of shows ago, but that happens. And it's like, what are you thinking? The battery will never go out. I'll never need tires on the car. I'll never need an appliance to be fixed. Or I'll never need. And it's people get into that, and then everything's an emergency. And I've been my 41st year in banking now, in retail banking. I've seen enough of it. And you just want to tell people, well, what you're doing is unrealistic. I mean, it's just not a good idea. And then you're constantly going from crisis to crisis, crisis for them. But if they had some type of savings plan and not living paycheck to paycheck, it's just a minor financial inconvenience. Okay, I'll go to AutoZone and get another battery and go on about my way. Well, to them, it's a crisis. Well, my car won't turn on because, you know, I can't get to work. I can't get to the grocery. I can't drop the kids off at school because of this one thing that has finally gone bad, and I had no plans to do anything about it. You just had a report just right before I was coming on. It was interesting, this financial advisor say, and if I heard it right, have 2 years of income set aside in a relatively liquid way that you could get to it. That's a far cry from remembering. I could see this lady's face. I'll never forget it, going through COVID. And, she was a contract employer working for the film industry, and must have heard me or talked to me at some point. I didn't remember that. But it's like, okay, bumped into her. All right, I did what you told me. I buckled down. I made the plans. I put 6 months pay aside. And when COVID hit, I was out of work for the better part of a year. The 6 months came and went, and I was basically destitute. And it's like, okay, it's kind of like, what advice do you have for me now? And she wasn't happy about the turnout there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, the 6 months, everybody's got to evaluate their own income and expenses and things, and understand, okay, what would happen if certain things happen? You've just got to do the scenario. Businesses do it. I know we do it, but we have to do it at the credit union for that, the regulatory reasons, but financial as well. And it's like, okay, and right now, Tom, I'm afraid we're going to have a little bit of a recession. Some parts of the economy are going to go through some recessionary time. And, okay, so you know what's happening, that how many people are going to be laid off by what's going on if it continues? And we've seen the employment report is coming out this morning, but we've seen deteriorating employment numbers, something that we'll pick up on Monday. But it's been going on for a couple of years now, so it's not going to take much. I only take confidence of what's happening with the tariffs is that it's temporary, and it could be reversed instantly. When we were doing something like a COVID, there was no way to bargain with anything. It was a disease around the world that everybody had to react to. But going back to the paycheck to paycheck that people find themselves in, the Bank of America had a study recently. It's like 20% of the people making $250,000 a year live paycheck to paycheck. And somebody, I know, you know, in my case, you hear other people, it's like, oh my goodness, if I made $250,000, I would never have to worry about money again. Mm. Well, it's surprising, and I'm sure some of those people that make that type of money or more felt similarly. Get to that point in the career, congratulations, and then they find themselves, well, you know, I don't have a lot of wiggle room financially. Well, you're not going to get a lot of sympathy from somebody that makes 50 grand, looks up at you, you make 250, and you discussing financial troubles. Well, you know, a couple of reasons for that. And it's like, first of all, 3 points. Your income don't match your expenses. You've gotten yourself to a point where your expenses have consumed the majority, all, or maybe even more of your income. And there was no reconcilement. There's no sitting down and kind of reconciling it with yourself. Nobody likes to do it. It's not any fun. It's like me going on a diet. It's not fun. I want to eat certain things, and you're denying yourself those same things. Well, financially, you have to do the same. It's a financial diet. And you've fallen victim to possibly lifestyle inflation. Oh, well, you know, money was decent. I was making good money. Everything's good at the firm. I do buy an $11 coffee every morning from Starbucks. I could afford it. I don't have to worry about it. You don't until you do several things like that, that lifestyle inflation, you keep trading up. And at some point, the 250 isn't enough anymore. And I know so many people with the average income in the country, about 50 to 60,000, some people, their heads explode where it's like the 250, somebody runs past that, or even higher numbers. And you have expensive debt payments. That's the other thing. Not singling anybody out. I just want to say it's a lot of times it happens in the medical community. I'll see people that make good money, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, that don't pay off the American Express bill from month after month, and it's clicking off 27%. It's just it's craziness. It's money out the door. You know, your hard-earned money, you educated yourself to make that type of money, and it's so frivolously, so casually approached, where it's like, well, no, you know, I'll pay a couple of thousand on it, and your American Express, again, has a $30,000 balance. So as far as the tips, well, it kind of commonsensical. You just got to sit down, take a minute, pour a martini, if that's part of your evening activity, and you put yourself a budget. Look through your expenses and see, okay, well, some of these things have to go, whether they're subscriptions to things and, you know, gym memberships and all. And even if you're using the gym membership, maybe that's something that can be, okay, eliminated. And maybe I'll do something. I'll run around the neighborhood, and it doesn't cost me a thing. Build an emergency fund. That's the other part about, you know, having 6 months. And now, after the report this morning, you might need more than that, depending on what the economic downturn is, or what emergencies that you're trying to prevent happening to you financially. So if it's a couple of thousand dollars or tens of thousands of dollars, whatever fits the household that you're in, whatever fits your income, whatever fits circumstances that you're going to be trying to avoid financially. And of course, pay down high interest debt. Tommy, since this inflation has come on, you and I have had many of conversations on the air about just please go in and refinance with anybody. Sit down with the loan officer and try to put some things together. And I bet 9 times out of 10, savings can be found there, but people are just not doing it. They have this resistance to going in and sitting down with somebody whose job it is to save you some money. And on the other side, we're complaining, I can't afford things, I don't have any savings. Well, you owe 50 grand in credit card debt, that's almost 30%. I mean, that's an enormous drag on your income. And then we hear people saying, the balance doesn't fall. I mean, I'm putting towards some effort. No, the interest rate is so overwhelmingly large that it's hard to see material changes in the balance. Then they get discouraged, like I do on a food diet. I'm not losing weight fast enough, and you kind of give up and surrender to it and just go back about your day, which is so detrimental financially to those trying to save a little money. And last but not least, of the 5 points, it might be that you need to find other income. Can you talk to you, negotiate at work about maybe getting a raise? That's the first thing. You might have to take on another job to get some extra income in, maybe not forever. You do something on the side, get some extra income in, and really start burning that debt down. You will feel like $1 million once that burden is off of your shoulders.
Mark, valuable information as always. And again, go to jeffersonfinancial.org. Those calculators, you don't track anything. There's no obligation, no this, no nothing. Go ahead.
No, Tom, I'm sorry. I wanted to interject, and thank you for saying that. But guys, there are budget calculators that will help you maybe get some organization about your bills, and it will show you, obviously, with clarity, what's going on there. So again, free and open to the public. We're glad that people are using them.
No obligation, no salesman will call. Thank you, Mark. Have a good weekend.
Yes,
all right.
Thank
we'll
you.
Talk to you Monday, right, when sir. We take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. It's all about if you can live within your means. I know some people can't because they don't make enough money, but It's all about living within your means. Do you really have to have the most expensive car? Do you really have to have this cup of coffee? Do you really have to have steak three nights a week, et cetera? I remember back in the day of stagflation working with a guy making big money. So I don't eat steak every night. I can barely afford steak every week. 7:55, 5 till 8, traffic now, WWL.